At camp, I'm going to be instructing the youth or the senior campers on thirsting or hungering after God from Psalm 63. And so I wanted to also preach Psalm 63 to you this evening. So please turn with me to Psalm 63. Reading all of the psalm, the 11 verses there. Hear God's word. A psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, the flower fails, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's pray for God's blessing on his word. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we praise you for your word, which is powerful and effective. We thank you, Father, that you speak to us. And we ask that you would speak to us this evening. That you would give us a greater hungering, a greater thirsting for you and for service to you, to know you, to serve you more. Father, we ask that you give us each listening ears and that you would draw us ever closer to our Savior and make us more like him. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, is there anyone here that's ever been in a dry and weary land where there is no water? I see one hand raised, and no, I don't think North Dakota counts. It is a semi-arid land, but there is water here. Have you ever been in a desert place? Nonetheless, all of us know what it is to be thirsty. We know what it is to go about our work, perhaps in the heat of the sun, and get that intense thirst upon our mouth. To feel like our tongue is like cotton sticking to the roof of our mouth. And what we want right then and there is something to drink and something to drink real soon. We all know what that's like. But the question is, we know what it's like to yearn, to thirst for something to drink. But do we have that same kind of yearning, that same kind of thirsting for God? Is God as important as that? He should be far more important than that. The book of Psalms is what we might call a thirsty book. We see a lot of hungering and a lot of thirsting after God, like in the psalm before us this evening, this thirsting for you. But also in the psalms that we've been singing today as well. For example, Psalm 42. Which we just sang in Psalm 42, the first two verses. We read there, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And then there's Psalm 73, which we didn't sing today. Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And Psalm 84, verses 1 and 2, which we opened up with this morning in song, or this evening rather, Psalm 84, the first two verses say this: "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." And as we've read Psalm 63, and as we study through the Psalms on our own and read through them, we see a hungering, we see a thirsting, we see a yearning for fellowship with God. And I wonder at times as we read passages of Scripture like this, do we ever say to ourselves, how do they thirst like that? Where's that come from? I wish I had some more of that hungering and that yearning myself. I trust most of us have said that at times. We wish, we pray that God would grant a greater hungering, a greater yearning, a greater thirst for Him. And my hope is that we'll leave here this evening, indeed, with a greater thirst for God, an intense thirst for Him, a thirst that will not be quenched by anything, but a thirst that will be richly satisfied as we worship Him, both corporately and privately. So I'd like to point out four things for us to look at this evening. First of all, the intensity or the greatness of David's thirst. Second, the reason for his thirst. Why did he have such an intense thirst? Third, the effect that that thirst had on his life. And fourth, the satisfaction of his thirst. First then, let's look at David's intense thirst for God. Again, in verse 1, David says, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek for you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." His thirst is described as one who is in a desert place without water. And we all know those movies, right, where cartoons where somebody's crawling along the desert floor, waiting and yearning for something to drink. And I'm not saying that's exactly the way it was for David, but you know what? David is in the wilderness of Judah. He is in that dry and weary land, a land where there is no water. And in the midst of that place where there is no water, what he yearned for above all else was for God. That was his hunger. That was his yearning in this time. But if we're going to understand the intensity of David's thirst, then we need to understand the context in which he wrote this psalm. And so, look at your Bibles again at the inscription of the psalm. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. The wilderness or the desert of Judah is just west of the Dead Sea, and it is a dry, rocky desert place. And David was in that dry and weary land. David knew, as I say, what it is like to be thirsty and in the midst of it still to be yearning for God above all else. You see, though the desert surrounded David, there is no desert in his heart at this point. Now, do you recall the time when David had to flee to the desert? There were at least two, and you guys ought to recall at least one of them, since because of our study in 1 and 2 Samuel. There was that time, of course, when he was running from Saul. That was one time when he was in the desert. However, in this psalm, David says, "But the king shall rejoice in God." David's referring to himself as king. And so this isn't when David's running from Saul. This is when David's running from Absalom. And we all know from our study of 2 Samuel what went on. Absalom led a revolt against David. We know of it from 2 Samuel 15 to 19. Absalom would wait for the people to approach the king's court with a complaint. And when they got there, he said, "There's no one to help you. But if I were king, I would see that you would have justice." He did all he could to make his father, the king, look bad, look unjust in the sight of the people. And before long, Absalom had many followers. And he was ready to overthrow David. And because of the large following, David feared for his life. And with his men, he fled into the desert of Judah. And at this time, when David is away from his home, when he's in a dry and weary land, when his enemies are after him, seeking to kill him, he's running for his life. He's away from his sanctuary. What's his hunger? What's his thirst? What's his concern? Fellowship with God. Isn't that amazing? One of the hardest times in his life, he's going through a trial where his own son wants him dead. And what does David do but cry out, "O God, you are my God. Early I will seek for you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." Now, what would we be saying in a situation like that? What would we be longing for? "God, I thirst for the blood of my son who's seeking my life. Will you put a stop to this?" And I'm not saying David didn't pray that God would put a stop to this. But his thirsting and his hungering were not first and foremost for deliverance, but for fellowship with God. In the midst of adversity, it's God, "You are my God. And I long for you. I thirst for you." David missed the times that he'd go to the sanctuary to worship God, when he would see God there, when he would fellowship with God there. But he thirsted for more than just the sanctuary, for the religious ordinances. He thirsted for the God he met with and he communed with there in the sanctuary. And I hope you come out to worship both morning and evening, not to go through the motions, not to go through the ordinances, but out of a hunger to meet with God, to be in His presence, to fellowship with Him. But do you thirst, and do you hunger, and do you long for God like David does, even when times are good, let alone in times when they're bad? I'm afraid most of us would have to confess, "No, God, my thirst, my hungering, I desire you. I want fellowship with you." But we don't always hunger like that. So how can we learn to hunger and thirst after God all the more? How can we develop a greater thirst, a greater yearning for God? Well, let's look at the reasons for David's great thirst. Now, why do you think David had such a great thirst for God? First of all, I want you to notice what he calls God. He says, "Oh God, you are my God." He didn't just say, "Oh God, you are a God. You are some God out there. You are the God." He doesn't even say that. He says, "God, you are my God." He had a relationship with the Lord. David didn't worship a strange or a foreign God who was way off. He had a personal relationship with the Lord. He lived in communion with God. He was God's servant, God's child, adopted as a son of God. And God was his God. And so hungering and thirsting after God begins with a relationship with God. Begins with knowing Him not just as a God or even the God, but knowing Him as our God, my God. David's thirst for God, first and foremost, stemmed from his relationship with God. Second, David also thirsted after God because he had seen God in the sanctuary, because he beheld there God's power and His glory. No, he didn't physically see God with his eyes, but through the eyes of faith he saw God, high and exalted, seated upon His throne, with all power, with all glory, with all dominion. As David entered the sanctuary, as he worshiped God, he came into the very presence of God. He was aware of that. He communed with God. He fellowshiped with God. He met with God. And such intimate fellowship with God made David thirst and hunger for God all the more. You see, it's through divine worship, it's through communion with God that David grasped and gazed upon the splendor and the awesomeness of the thrice holy God. And he hungered and thirsted after God because he saw him as holy, as sovereign, as exalted, as almighty, as the creator, the one in control of all things. And third, what I think caused David to thirst the most was the loving kindness of God. In verse 3, David proclaims, God's loving kindness is better than life. Now the word here, I've told you, we've talked about this word before, it's the Hebrew word chesed. And it has the idea of love and mercy and loyalty all combined. It's the idea of God's faithfulness, God's faithful love to His people, His covenant faithfulness to His people, that He will not turn from them, that He will not abandon them, that He will continue to love and show mercy. And David says, your loving kindness, your faithful mercy to me, it's better than life. What could make one thirst for God more than His loving mercy, than His faithfulness? Indeed, it is better than life. Better than 1,000 lives, because without it, David would have no life. David knew that without the loving mercy of God, he would suffer for his sin. But despite his sin and his rebellious ways, God showered him with love and with mercy. And David knew the loving kindness of God. Again, because of our study in 2 Samuel, we all know the story of David and Bathsheba. David seeing this woman from the roof of his castle bathing, beginning to lust after her, and he asked one of his men to find out who she was. He reported back, it's Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. Uriah being one of David's soldiers who was at war fighting for David. And David had Bathsheba brought to him, had a relationship with her, and she became pregnant. And the problem became worse when David tried to cover up his sin of adultery. He brought Uriah back from war hoping that he would sleep with his wife and he could blame the pregnancy on Uriah. But Uriah refused to take the pleasure of being with his wife when his fellow soldiers were risking their lives. And so David sent Uriah to the front line of the battlefield where Uriah was killed. David murdered Uriah. Then he married Bathsheba, seeking to cover his sin from men. He had committed adultery and then murder. But it wasn't long after that that David was convicted of his sin and he cried out to God for mercy. And the amazing thing is, God forgave the guilt of his sin. God forgave David. David committed such heinous acts as adultery and as murder. And when he cried out for mercy, God forgave the guilt of his sin. What greater cause could David have for thirsting after God than to know, God forgave me. My sin has been done away with. My sin has been paid for. That's why he hungers after God. He has an understanding that he's a sinner and that he has no hope except for the mercy of God, except for the loving kindness, except for the faithful mercy of God. David's longing for God in this dry and weary place because of who God is, because of His mercy. So how can we develop a greater thirst for God? First, we must examine ourselves and see indeed that God is not merely a God to us, but that He's our God, that He's my God. If there's no relationship with God, then you're not going to thirst for God. If you're trying upon your own good works to have a relationship with God, it won't work. It needs to be approached on the basis of what Christ has done. God's loving kindness indeed is better than life. He promises that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thirsting after God starts after a personal relationship with God. And second, for those that do have a relationship with God, how do we thirst after Him more? David thirsted after God because he had seen God in the sanctuary. And as you, brothers and sisters, have come to worship both this morning and this evening, and as you come to Him in worship privately and with your families, you come and you meet with Him. And you see Him for who He is. You are in the presence of the Almighty God. You commune with Him. You see, the more that you meet with God in worship, the more you're going to thirst and hunger for Him. The more you gaze upon God in all of His glory, the more you will hunger for Him. There's a French proverb that says, with eating comes appetite. In other words, the more you eat, the more you're going to desire to eat. The more you worship God, the more you feast on Him, the more you're going to yearn to be in His presence and to worship Him. The more you savor the tender worship of God, the more you taste of His grace, the greater thirst you will have for Him. And third, let me encourage you to reflect on the loving mercy of God showered upon you. You're a sinner, and you deserve absolutely nothing from God except to be thrown into hell for your sin. But God hasn't treated us as our sins deserve. In our place, He sent His Son, who kept the demands of the law for us perfectly. You see, God requires perfection. None of us has met that, and Christ met the demands of the law in our place. And then He took the punishment that we deserved. And the more we think about who we are in and of ourselves as sinners deserving the wrath of a holy God, and yet seeing and understanding that God has shown us mercy, how can we not hunger and thirst after God the way David did? He looked forward to being in God's presence. And think of it, David looked forward to Christ. His view of Christ was not as clear as the view we have looking back. How much more ought we to hunger and thirst after God when we should have a far better understanding of the loving kindness of God shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ? The more we meditate on His love and on His mercy and His faithfulness, the greater our thirst for Him is going to be. And so what did this thirst do for David? What effect did it have on David's life? What effect should it have on yours? Well, this thirst drove David to worship God where he was. Verse 1 says that David earnestly or early sought for God. In fact, that word in verse 1 that is translated early in the New King James, O God, you are my God, early will I seek for you. Actually, the Hebrew word both means early and earnestly. And so David early and earnestly sought after God. He didn't wait when he got up in the morning till the afternoon to seek fellowship with God. He didn't wait to return to Jerusalem and the temple to worship God. He didn't wait till Absalom was stopped to seek God's face. No, right where he was, right in the midst of his trial, right in the midst of the difficulty, David eagerly and earnestly sought for God. And we must follow that example. Seek out God before all else. We ought not to leave our homes in the morning without seeking His face and being in His presence. David, as he was in the desert, sought to praise God as well with his lips, to bless God while he lived. And whether we're going through deserts or good times in our lives, if we truly thirst for God, we're going to praise Him wherever we are and in whatever situation we're in. Whatever hardship we're facing, whether it's with health or whether it's with a relationship or whatever it might be. You see, it's often easy to praise God when things are going well. But when we're going through the fiercest trials of our life, can we still proclaim from the heart, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." I want you to also notice that David praised God with singing lips. We've sung songs this evening, not to entertain ourselves, although hopefully we enjoyed it, but that wasn't the purpose, but to give praise to God. Singing is a means of worship. And it ought to be done, of course, in the public worship of God. We all ought to, with joyful lips, because of what God has done, sing His praise. And we ought to do it whether we think we have a melodious voice or not, because He's worthy. But you know what? We ought to do it in private and family worship as well. Bless Him with singing lips. David didn't get to the temple at the time he was in the wilderness, and still he sung praise to God. And as David started his day with the Lord, he ended it the same way. Verse 6 says, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches." When David began in the morning, early he sought God's face. When he laid himself down at night, what did he do? He spent time meditating upon the Lord on his bed. And you know what? We can only meditate on God after we've read and after we've studied His Word. For it's through the Word that God reveals Himself to us. But you see, meditating goes beyond just reading, and it goes beyond studying the Word. It's that mulling over, that thinking intently upon God. One of my professors at Reformed Bible College, Bill Shell, used to say that meditating is like chewing the spiritual cud. And in North Dakota, we ought to understand that better than those in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I guess they have cows there too, but we know what it is. We know what chewing the cud is. Where an animal takes in its nourishment, chews it up, brings it down, and brings it back up and chews it for more nourishment. Well, that's what we do with the Word of God. We begin, we start meditating upon God, reading His Word. We take it in, and then on our bed, what do? We bring it up. We sit there, we mull it over, we think about it, we digest it more and more, we apply it to life. Then we bring it down again. Then we bring it back up, and we chew on it some more. That's what a thirst for God ought to do. Make us meditate upon God, think upon God intently. And David's thirst, not only that, it also caused him to trust in God. He believed in the promises of God, and he knew that his enemies would be stopped. David didn't fear his enemies or the enemies of God, because he knew that God would stop them. The mouth of the liars would be stopped. He didn't know when, but that didn't bother him. His faith and his trust was in God. He knew the power of God, and he trusted God. And he knew that his enemies would be stopped. But finally, was David's thirst quenched? No, David had a thirst that could never be quenched. He hungered after God, and there would be nothing whatsoever which would quench that thirst. But his thirst was satisfied. Look at verse 5 again. "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness." Marrow and fatness, the richest of foods. Marrow and fatness were delicacies in those days. The richest, the best of foods. And his soul would be satisfied because it would feast on the best of all foods, on God Himself. He would feast on the riches, of God's grace, on the riches of communion and fellowship with God, on the delicacies of divine worship. The more he thirsted after God, the more he would be satisfied. But the more he's satisfied on the greatness of God's grace, the more he would thirst after God as well. And so David has this intense thirst that can never be quenched, but is satisfied as he fellowships with God, as he feasts on his grace and on his goodness. And so, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, are you thirsty? Do you yearn after God? As God satisfied David's thirsty soul, so he invites all who are thirsty to come to him and be satisfied. You who are thirsty, come and feast to your soul's delight. Come and be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Come, eat, and drink upon the worship of God. And I close with the words of Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you. And we praise you for your faithfulness and your mercy to us. We thank you, Father, that you do indeed forgive our sins, that you have forgiven our sins, and that we have rich and sweet fellowship with you as we worship you. Our Heavenly Father, we ask, O Lord, that you would grant to us a greater hungering and a greater thirst for you and for the worship of your name. Father, forgive us for those times we haven't hungered and thirsted as we ought. Father, work in us, we pray. And we pray it in Jesus' name.